Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts chapter 2. If you're all there, say amen. Amen. The 42nd verse. Let's read the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. It gives a list right there. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day, how often? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. Where? In their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, sounds like our church. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to bless this time. Father, bless the remaining portions of this service now. Move in power, I pray, oh God. Speak to us clearly from this passage. Have your will and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to somebody and say, why are you here? Now, we do have notes. I think they're coming around. Turn to the other person and say, hey, why are you here? And then I want to go ahead and ask you, why are you here? Why are you here? Well, look, because you made me come. I'm a leader and I had to come. It's a leader. No, that's not why you're here. Why are we here? Why do we gather on Sunday morning? Why do we gather Sunday night? Why do we gather on Wednesday? Or why do we gather every day? Because the truth is we gather every day. How often? Every day. Somebody said, you don't have church every day. Yeah, we do. It's called morning prayer. Yes. 7 in the morning. Right here from 7 to 8. And I'd encourage you to be a part of that. But that's a good question to ask someone. Why are you here? Of course, you don't want to ask them that because it's kind of offensive, but it's a good thing to think about. You know, we're not a supermarket. You don't have to ask anybody at a supermarket. Why are you at the supermarket? Why are you at Cars right now? Because they're shopping for food. It costs 4 times as much as it did about 2 years ago. Shortage on eggs and on. But we're not a supermarket. This is not Krispy Kremes, as much as I love those things. They're demonic. My gosh. I don't know. When the red light's on and that belt is running, it might be the nearest thing to manna in the earth, a Krispy Kreme coming off the belt. Bind it now. We're here because we're the church and we're the unstoppable community. The church is eternal. The church is eternal. Some have defined the church as a company of believers. It's a good definition, I think, but there's so much more. Some have defined the church as universal society of all the faithful. The universal society of all the faithful. Here's another definition of church, the church. Some have defined the church as church triumphant and the church militant. I mean, what does that mean? Triumphant, those who've died and gone on to glory. That's the church triumphant. The church militant are us, those who are still in the earth. How many of you are militant? Some have seen the church as the church visible and the church invisible. The church visible is the one seen by man, right here. The invisible one is the one that's gone ahead on to glory. But the church is clearly eternal. The word church in the New Testament is ecclesia. And that's a powerful word. It's actually a political term. The term is used for an assembled congregation of people that are gathered together by a crier or a caller. So in other words, if a caller or a crier would come into a community and holler for everybody to come out, they would tell everybody what's going on and then it would vote. There was a specific group of people that would be representative in the ecclesia. And that's the word that Jesus used. Here's the definition that we have here at King's, and it is a theological definition that you'll find in many, many universities and seminaries. The church is a covenant community of faith in a given locale, the visible expression of the kingdom of God in the earth, the local church. Wow. The visible expression of the kingdom of God in the earth. A gathered group of people of faith in Christ Jesus. A visible expression of the kingdom of God in the earth. I hope we do a good job of being a visible expression of the kingdom of God, because this is his method for reaching the world. But with testimonies like that and the different things that are taking place, it's only a matter of time before we take the entire state, before we take the entire nation. There's momentum that's gathered. 2025 is going to be a year of unprecedented victory. A year of what? Unprecedented victory. It is absolutely going to be that, but that also means there might be some unprecedented battles. If you don't have, how can you have unprecedented victory if you don't have unprecedented challenges? And that word came to me. It's going to be a year of unprecedented victory. Don't be afraid was the rest of the word. And as I said this morning and the other night, what? What do you mean? Because I'm not given to fear. Why would the Lord say that to me? Because if you're afraid, you're not going to see the unprecedented victory. And there's many times when you face a mountain, when you face a battle, when you face things that are difficult or seemingly impossible in the natural, that you could be given to fear. But if you give over to fear, you will never see, you will never ever see unprecedented victory. I believe that God is coming upon us with courage and power and authority, and we will see in 2025 a year of unprecedented victory. Come on, say it. Unprecedented. Absolutely right. For a brief moment here, you see this church, what they did is, it's so simple. It just lists it for those of you that study the word. It just gives very simple lists on what the church was like and what their assignment is. They were doing their assignment. You say, what is the assignment of the church? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to look at a bunch of scriptures. So take your device, take your Bibles, and look at some of these scriptures very quickly. Matthew 8:28-19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Wow. Go to Colossians 1. So Matthew 28, what is the church supposed to do? What's the church supposed to do? I mean, what's their assignment? Is to make disciples of nations. We have formulating a trip to India, taking a small group of people to India. And we don't have the date just settled. It's really not an open missions trip at this time. But we have some churches that are wanting to come online with King's, and we're going to have a kind of a pastor's conference and go meet with some of these folks. And we're going to India. You know, we're supposed to disciple India. I got like three or four amens. We're supposed to disciple nations. If you look around, actually, the nations are represented by all the different places that you've come from. We come from all over the world. We're a mixed multitude of people here in Alaska. Colossians 1:28. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I fill up on my flesh what was still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body. He goes on to say, I have become his servant by the commission of God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Go down to verse 28. We proclaim him admonishing, and it's almost blasphemous to skip those other verses because they're so amazing, but you can go read it at home. Verse 28. We proclaim him admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. What kind of wisdom? All wisdom. So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. We're supposed to disciple nations. We're supposed to help people grow up and become perfect and to become mature. The assignment of the church is to be a dwelling place which God lives by the Spirit, the naos of God, Ephesians 2. We're supposed to declare the praises of Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 1 and 9. And I want you to turn to this one, Revelation 1 and 6. To him who loved us and freed us from our sins. Gosh, I'm going to say it again. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. We're called to be a kingdom made of priests. That's what we're called to be. We're called to raise up priests. He said, well, I'm a girl. Okay, priestesses unto the Lord God Almighty. If you look at this text, you see, and in your notes, four pillars of the early church. And these, I believe, are supposed to be the four pillars of every church. And if you don't have these, there's a problem. You say, well, some of these might be missing in a church that I went to. They might be, and maybe that's why you don't go there anymore. Maybe that's why that church might not be open anymore, because if you lose any of these, you will soon fade away. These are very, very important. Very, very important. Is what we see what the assignment of the church is, but we see a snapshot, a glimpse, if you will, of what the church did really. A momentary picture, four pillars of the church, they were devoted. They were what? Devoted. It's more than a formal membership so that we can give the IRS a check in the box of their regulations. There's requirements that the IRS requires us to have in order to be a 501c3 tax-exempt corporation. It's far above that. It's devotion. Devoted. That's not a word that you hear all that often. It's committed. It's entirely committed with all your heart and with all your soul. And they were devoted to what? They were devoted to a number of things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, writing the notes. They were committed to learning about God. If you don't commit to learn about God, Pastor Karen did the offering this morning, and it was a powerful message. She talked about how David desired to build a palace and to build the house of the Lord, a temple of the Lord. And she talked about in ancient culture how a king was not really acknowledged as fully established without having done that. It was a cultural thing. So he's like, we're going to build him a house. It's a cultural thing. Nathan, who gives him a word that wasn't from God, was Nathan a false prophet? No, he wasn't. But he gave a word that the Lord said, I didn't say that. You go back and fix it. So Nathan says to him, build whatever you want. And then the Lord speaks to Nathan and says, you go tell him he can't build it. He's got too much blood on his hands, which is a powerful word. So he's able to provide for it. In ancient culture, if you didn't have an established palace, temple, then you weren't established as a king. The picture for us in the New Testament reality is this. If you're not devoted and really sink into the things of the Lord, you won't be established in life. You'll be like tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. There's a lot of false teaching out there. There's doctrines of demons, and you will never know the difference unless you really learn the real thing. The true thing. They don't teach counterfeiters, those who study and discover counterfeit. I was in Washington, D.C. at the Treasury when I was in high school, and they, as we were touring, they showed us them looking at the printed money. They study real cash, real tender and notes, so that when they see the false thing, they can pick it out right away. Now they've got streams of little metal chips and all kinds of stuff. It's different now. Are you devoted? This is what they were devoted to. What? They were devoted to the word of the Lord. They were devoted to the word of God. They were devoted to scripture. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, will endure forever. And I know so many people that are not devoted. You know, Pastor Karen studies very intensely, and she's preparing over this next month for these life groups to open the Embrace Women's Fellowship, what are we calling it? The chick group. On the 30th of January, no offense.
Embrace Life Group.
Thank you, Pastor
Hello.
Karen. I was like, I thought it was the Lord for a second. I'm like, one more time, tell us, Pastor Karen, on Thursday the 30th, it's called what?
Embrace Life Groups.
Very good. Embrace Life Groups. So she's going through the Precepts ministry training. Precepts is one of the best ways to precept upon precepts, the inductive Bible study method. Because most people have not a clue on how to study the Word. And there's a lot of different ways to study. This is one of the great ones. So she spent 5 hours one day and 8 hours the next day studying this whole system. Why? So that when she rolls this thing out on the 30th, it's not like she's twiddling her thumbs and you just... Whee! It's going to come with power. And what I've found over the past few days at my house, she's just, there's something on you from studying. We're getting ready to come to church this morning, and she said, gosh, I love the Word. And it's just like, she's like a fire. Because she'd been in the Word for how many hours? 12 hours or something of study over the two-day period to get ready to teach this thing, and there's something different about you. We didn't get as many meals made for us, but it was amazing. What is the other thing that you said that stood out to me? She said, I've studied this book of Mark. I just feel full. I just feel like I just feel so full. Do you know how many people have not had that kind of experience, that don't know how to study the Word, that don't know how to be devoted to teaching and learning God's Word? I would say most Christians. And we wonder why people are anemic and have no faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... Man, I've taken a long time on that, but you can tell I've got something in my craw. I'm not sure what a craw is, but I'm trying to get it out. They were devoted to what? To the apostles' teaching. But they weren't just devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. That word fellowship is koinonia. Raise your hand if you ever heard of koinonia. Koinonia what? Koinonia. Fellowship. It's more than just knowledge. Listen to me. Listen, all of you that stay at home and just pray all day, God bless you. The monastic movement was not of God by and large. Monastic movement, the period where the monks went and hid themselves, the desert fathers went and isolated themselves. Now, God used that tremendously to preserve the Word of God through the dark ages, but it is not God's will for you to isolate yourself and stay at home and listen to like 8-track tapes of Vineyard and just let the power of God rest on you. That's not it. And just learn the Word. If Pastor Karen was just to hide out at home and study and never leave, that would not be good. There's got to be fellowship because, listen closely, revelation and the truth of God's Word works in conjunction with fellowship. All revelation is supposed to be lived out in community. When you tell me you had this massive dream and this tower and this light and this whole thing, you might have seen too many J.R.R. Tolkien movies. It's more than knowledge. It's getting knowledge and living out that knowledge in the context of relationship. I'm going to say that again. It's more than getting knowledge. It's getting the knowledge of the Word of God and living that out in real time, not online. This is not church, y'all. I mean, praise God, it's the next best thing. If you can't be here, praise the Lord. But if you could be, you should be, because it's not the same. Kotzebue is an exception. We're streaming to you, you're learning, but there's got to be ministry. There's got to be life. Can you say amen? Fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I learned a Greek word, koinonia. So koinonia is this beautiful word. I think it's 1 John. 1 John 1 and 3. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard so that you may have fellowship. Do you know you cannot have fellowship with an unbeliever? Listen to me. We're just having fellowship. Your Satanist friend, you can minister to them, you can spend some time with them, be careful, but that's not fellowship. Fellowship can only be had between two believers, or three or four or five. Are we having fellowship right now? Yes. Well, you know, it was beautiful this morning is to see how many conversations in the lobby. People just wouldn't leave, and we don't want you to leave. That's why we got a massive lobby. Go ahead and use it, hang out, drink coffee, hallelujah, talk to each other, get to know each other. That's why we have a big lobby. Fellowship's crucial. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. We proclaim 1 John 3, what we've seen and heard, so that we may have fellowship, so that you may have fellowship with us. Listen closely. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Here's literally what that's saying. You can, your relationship with God, if you don't like having fellowship with other people that love God, something's wrong with your relationship with God. Let me run that through again. If you say you love the Lord, but you don't have fellowship, you forsake the gathering of the saints, something's wrong with your walk with the Lord. And literally, when you're walking with God, it will also be with people. That's what that text says. That's so profound. And they were devoted to that. They're devoted to fellowship. There's vertical fellowship with God, horizontal fellowship with each other. And you know, fellowship requires walking in the light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, you can't have fellowship with someone who says they love God, but they live like the devil. You can't have fellowship with somebody who claims to be a Christian, but acts like something that's other than that. Christian means Christ-like. And when people are defiled and they have fellowship, that defilement can be like a yeast that can spread through the place. Holiness matters. Truth matters. Righteousness matters. Integrity matters. And when those things are broken, you can't have fellowship. It breaks the bonds of fellowship. But they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to prayer. How devoted are you to pray? They're devoted to prayer. We're moving into a time of fasting and praying. Starts tomorrow. I don't know about you. I'm on a little bit of a different program right now, but all the fast, most of the fast, we would have what I call the Last Supper. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Dr. Morocco would preach, or I would preach over the years, and then it would be like, it's the Last Supper. And we would like go to Red Robin and just gorge. Just be like, like 75 burgers and fries and ketchup all over everything, ice cream, two of each. Just totally, just full glutton. Did I just ruin your meal that's following? And we would get so sick when we started fasting and just suffer for like 3 or 4 days and finally come out the other side. And you're fasting and you can smell burgers through brick walls. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just drive down Main Street. And I don't know, I'm convinced that maybe Burger King knew that King's was fasting, and so they would just puff all their smoke straight. I would see the smoke rising out of Burger King, and I'd roll my windows down, and I'd be like, oh, hallelujah. I could eat a 4-course meal through my nose. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Being devoted to prayer is a big deal. How's your prayer life? Devotion, commitment to the Word, to learning the Word, to fellowship. How's your commitment to fellowship? How's your commitment to the Word? How's your devotion to prayer? Because that is what the church did. You know what we do? We're devoted to the Word. You're not hearing the Encyclopedia Britannica right now or the Reader's Digest. You're hearing the Word of God being preached to you. Number two, come on, you're devoted to fellowship. We're going to have services over and over and over. We're going to have life groups. We're going to hit 200 life groups. Say it. 200 life groups and 100 teams. Why? Because fellowship's important. Spend time with people. Get to know them. Everyone needs to hear this, your story, and you need to hear other people's stories too. It's important. It's powerful. And they were devoted to prayer. That is what a church does. That's what they do. Not only that, number three, they allowed the Holy Spirit to be manifested or seen. Where do you get that from? these great signs and wonders right in the text. Come on, look with me at the text. They voted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking bread. Everyone was filled with awe, and many, how many? Many, many, lots of wonders and signs were performed. They allowed the Holy Spirit to be seen. When there's not miracles, you've got to begin to ask the question, why is that? Because miracles are never separated from the teaching of God's word. It's Californians that did it. In the Jesus movement, there was just teaching, and it was good sound teaching, but it got ended up being separated from miracles. They felt like miracles were out of order, and like if God did them, we'll praise the Lord. But we want to be in balance. We want to have right balance, and so we're just going to teach you right now. Anytime there's teaching of God's word, the manifestation of the word will take place. So if you teach on healing, healing should take place. You teach on faith, faith should manifest. You teach on miracles, miracles should manifest. I'm teaching on the church. You know what I'm going to believe is going to happen? All the stuff I'm teaching you right now. It's going to happen. You're going to get greater devotion to the word. You're going to get greater devotion to fellowship. You're going to get greater devotion to prayer. And we're going to see mighty miracles manifested in homes. Come on, in prisons. Come on. We're going to see miracles, and we're all going to stand in awe and go, my God, he's God. That's what the church should be. These are really pillars in the church. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to come? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Holy Ghost, let your fire come upon your people now. We're committed to allow you to have your way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray, come in thine strength and thy power, come in thine own special way. The power of the Holy Spirit can never be separated from that which is church, or should never be. Lord, touch people, heal people now. This is what the early church was like. A sense of reverence and awe because of the miracles. A fear of the Lord. Teach your children the fear of the Lord. When you lose the awe of God, there's a great series now by John Bevere. Thank you. I looked at my son because he just finished it. With a friend of his studying the awe of God. People have lost the awe of God. Lost it. You lose that, you're in trouble. I stand in awe of you. Well, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Well, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe. Love you, Lord. Don't ever lose the awe of God. They were constantly like waiting for, oh, God's gonna manifest. They would take a trip somewhere and they knew that God was going to break out on the right, break out on the left. I'm just going to tell you, when they went to Homer, they expected either this precious relative of yours to get born again, to get healed, or God to do something. They didn't just drive down there to do some religious thing. Who would do that? Well, religion People do that. They'll go over hill and dale and make a convert and make them twice as son as hell as they are. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. But that's not why you went. You went expecting, believing that God was going to pour out his spirit. You drive to Anchorage every Thursday. Why would you do that? Why would you drive to Anchorage for the ice, snow, wind, hail? You drive there, you gather, you've had some 30 people come through the group of people getting saved, and you did sick them on someone in Jesus' name. And now they're saved, they're healed, they got a job. The awe of God. Every time you show up, when you wake up, hell should run screaming. Pastor Karen preaches in her sleep. She gives the devil no rest. Don't lose the awe of God. This is what the early church was like. It's what the church is supposed to be like now. Same message, different method, but not entirely. You look at four back in your notes, and I'm landing this plane, the unstoppable community. God added to their number. God added to the church daily. I've been pushing you to witness, pushing you to share your faith. On the words of the atheist this morning on the video that I played for you, raise your hand if you saw it. An atheist says this: if you really believe there's a heaven and you really believe there's a hell and you believe that somebody's going to go to hell if they don't receive Jesus, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, you have to have some sort of a special hatred for somebody to not tell them about Christ. I mean, whoa. I'm challenging you to do that. You say, Pastor, is the church growing? Is God adding to our number daily? Absolutely. Yes, but I think it's but a trickle. I think a great outpouring is just ahead. Why? Because we're going to be devoted to the word, to the teaching. We're going to be devoted to fellowship, one with another, in life groups and in teams. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How are you going to bear someone's burden if you don't even know what they're going through? How are you going to know what they're going through unless you become friends or you have fellowship with them? Devoted, committed to the word, committed, devoted to fellowship, devoted to prayer. 21 days, give yourself to prayer and fasting. We'll see great miracles happen. They allowed the Holy Spirit to move. That's what we want to do. That's what we hope to do. I believe we're doing it, but I want to go to another level. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. God added to their numbers daily. I close by saying this. It's a number of months ago, and I had a dream. God speaks to me in dreams more than he ever has before, and I think it's because I'm middle-aged. I also have vision, but I have more dreams now than I have visions. So your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, but I still have both, which means I'm middle-aged. I'm just glad God talks to me. So how do you know it's God? Because if I do the dream, then the result happens. And it's in the word. I'll see it in the word. It's not contrary to scripture. All revelation needs to line up with scripture. It's closed revelation, meaning you can't add anything to the word and you can't take anything out. And when you get a dream, when you get a vision, it's got to line up with scripture. It is the banks of the river. Otherwise, you're going to have a wild river and a flood everywhere. Thank God for the fire in your home, but it needs to be contained inside a box. It's called a wood-burning stove. Same in a church. You need to have revelation, but it needs to be confined by the box of his word, by the banks of the river. Thank God for revelation, but it will always, we're not going to have everybody clucking around like chickens. Start clucking like a chicken. We're going to cast the chicken devil off of you. But we want the manifestation of the power, the real thing. Can you say amen? So I had a dream. My staff knows it, and I've shared it here. There's a great revival. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people here. It's in this building. All the salmon, to quote Pastor Kirsten's dream. Just places filled with people. And I'm led with a select group of leaders, and we go upstairs to the administrative office, and we walk into like a modern-day NORAD. It looks like How many of you know NORAD is? They've got all these computers and all these screens, and they're running everything all over the place. I walk in and it's screens and computers and people praying and people around planning and strategizing. And I see these maps, and in these maps, I see life groups and teams everywhere. I mean, the whole state of Alaska is just got these red dots all over it. And I know what they are. They're small groups in villages all over. And I'm looking and I'm seeing this fire and I feel the power of God. And the Lord speaks to me when I walk in and he says this. This is how you will reach them. And then wham, I see the map. I see America covered by all of these dots, these groups. When they met in the first century, they met in the temple courts. That's a picture of what we're doing right now. That's what this is. We call it a celebration, a gathering. But they didn't just meet in temple courts. They met in homes and they broke bread. It's important to do both. Somebody said, one day it's just going to be a home church or ain't nobody going to be. Well, you go and do it. Go ahead and do what you want to do. But that's totally unbiblical. There's always the gathering of the assembly, the naos of God, the gathering of the people of God together. And yes, it can be in a home. And we have churches in homes right now. But as we've grown, I mean, your house cannot hold all of these people, I'm pretty sure. Right. And somebody say, oh, can't believe you built that building. I'd rather be in a cardboard box. Let me know how your church cardboard box goes with reaching all the people in the middle of winter. Peace. I would prefer to sit on memory foam cushions and worship God in this beautiful place with you. See, well, it's so costly. It's only money. It's already paid for. He said, it is? Yeah, by faith. It's already paid for. We're going to burn the mortgage. Seriously? Yeah, watch. You watch. Yeah. I've already seen it. God's going to do it. It's going to happen. It's going to manifest. Somebody say, it's already happened. That's how the church did. They gathered in the temple courts. They gathered in homes. They broke bread, a picture of communion. With glad and sincere hearts, it means that there's peace amongst them. Isn't that a miracle? Adding to their number daily. This is what we're going to do. We are going to see our life groups, our home groups, our small groups with a number of different names. We will most likely hit our goal. You believe it? Does it look like we're there? We're close? We'll see. We had 153. Come on, you got faith, Pastor Tammy? 153 life groups. That is a blessed miracle. That was a miracle. That was the last season. We're in this new season now. I'm believing to hit 200. How many? 200. Can you say it with more intention? How many? 200. Right, 200, and then 100 life groups. Now, after we hit that goal, we will go bananas. We will run around and celebrate and make a new goal. But the whole point is to reach. This is how you will reach them. We're mandated by God to reach this community, to reach this state, to reach this nation, to reach the nations of the world, to raise up an army. It is why we're here. Why are we here? We're the church. We're an unstoppable community. And maybe you've never heard it like that, but that's who we are. This is what we do. And we're going to do it with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul and all our strength. Until he splits the eastern sky, we will see God pour out his spirit and raise up an army of leaders. Stand up on your feet all across this place and give God a crazy shout of praise. Come on, come on. Hey, yes, yes, come on. Yes, God, yes, yes, yes to your word, yes to your will, yes to your way. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise tonight. Now, if you need to go to the next level of devotion and learning the word, some of you were shocked I talked about Pastor Karen like that. That's the way she is. She studies. She's a student. If you'll study the word, you'll see manifestations of the kingdom of God in your life that will just absolutely transform you. I mean, like, I'm just so stuck. I've been stuck for so long. I promise you, you are not in the word like you need to be, and you're not in fellowship like you need to be, or you're not in prayer like you need to be, and allowing for the Holy Spirit to move like he wants to. You're missing those. Something's wrong in those equations. Because if you have all of that, you'll never stay stuck. You'll never be busted. You will never face a problem or a challenge that you can't overcome. There's nothing that can stop you. You're the unstoppable community of faith. You're the unstoppable church, the church eternal. Come on, God is for us. He's calling you out, raising you up. We're his method. I mean, we're the ones that are supposed to take over the earth. Did you get something from God? Lift your hands one more time to heaven. My current leaders, you're here, and I know many are not able, we're not able to be here. You've led a life group, you're an assistant, you're a host. In this last season, come to the front right now. Quickly come, quick. Team leaders also, of course. You're a leader on this team. I think the number of leaders we now currently have is 256. 256. So this is not all of them. I want you to reach your hands towards them right now. Minister Becky, I'm pretty sure you need to come on up here. Every single leader, come. Pastor Duane, come on. Pastored for 60 years. Come on. Some of you are in the process of going through Discover Track and different things. Good, keep going through it. We have, how old are you, sweetheart? You're 11. 11-year-old leaders. Man, I wish somebody tapped me when I was 11 and said, you could lead. Gonna do great things. You are doing great things. Lift your hands to heaven. Let me bless you. Receive right now a fresh mantle from God for the new year in 2025. Come on, our leaders are like 3 times the size the church was, 10 times the size the church was when we first got here. It's amazing. Lord, thank you. Let your hand, let your power come. Pastors now, ministers, lay hands on them quickly. Touch and agree, pastors and ministers only. Touch and agree. Receive right now. In the name of Jesus. For those of you that are out in the congregation, those online, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, while these leaders are being freshly anointed for this next season, examine your own heart. Where are you at with God? God added to the church daily. Maybe he's going to add you right now. If you've never received him, do it now. If you have received him and you need to recommit, then do it, won't you? Pray this prayer with me, if that's you. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave, and I ask you to forgive me, to wash me, to cleanse me, to make me new. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. I pray, Holy Spirit, break every bondage, break every chain. Release your power upon these in Jesus' name, that they would fulfill the great plan, the dream, being a part of this unstoppable community of faith. Devotion and commitment to learning the word. Devotion and commitment to fellowship. Devotion and commitment to prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit being allowed to move. And God, you adding to the church daily as we share our faith. Give us a burden for souls, I pray. This ripple challenge would be so powerfully used by you. Double the church. Double, somebody gonna get it. Double the church. Say it. Double the church. Say it again. Double the church. Double the church. Double the church. Double the church in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Shout to the Lord tonight.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.